What if this struggle wasn't laziness, lack of discipline, or insufficient effort, but a fundamental difference in how your brain processes the world? For decades, countless girls have heard the same refrain, "You're so smart, if only you'd apply yourself." They've watched their male classmates receive ADHD diagnoses while their own racing thoughts, forgotten assignments, and emotional overwhelm were dismissed as personality flaws. The truth is both liberating and infuriating. ADHD in females has been hiding in plain sight, camouflaged by outdated diagnostic criteria built around hyperactive boys. While a restless boy disrupts class and gets referred for evaluation, a daydreaming girl who's just not living up to her potential slips through every safety net. This isn't about girls having less severe ADHD. It's about a medical system that hasn't learned to recognize what it looks like when she's drowning quietly at her desk. Picture two students with ADHD. The first bounces in his seat, blurts out answers, and can't sit still. The second appears engaged, takes notes diligently, and rarely disrupts. Yet inside her mind, a thousand thoughts compete for attention while the teacher's words dissolve into background noise. Our understanding of ADHD remains anchored to its most visible form. Boys typically display physical hyperactivity, fidgeting, interrupting, inability to stay seated. Girls experience mental hyperactivity, hypertalkative, hypersocial, or hyperemotional. Their restlessness lives internally, manifesting as constant mental chatter others dismiss as being ditzy. The stakes are staggering. Girls with ADHD are 3 times more likely than neurotypical peers to develop depression and anxiety. They work exhaustingly hard to appear normal, developing elaborate compensatory strategies that delay diagnosis into adulthood. They become perfectionists and masters of camouflage, while society judges them harshly for unfeminine traits like disorganization or emotional intensity. When teachers report no concerns, while parents describe a child falling apart nightly, the girl's struggles are attributed to family dynamics rather than a neurological condition requiring support. Change John to Jane on identical ADHD case descriptions and diagnosis rates plummet. Our diagnostic systems are fundamentally biased toward recognizing ADHD in boys, with screening tools relying on observations that consistently underestimate impairment in girls. Most ADHD research uses predominantly male participants. Our diagnostic criteria were literally built from observations of boys. Clinic-based samples show male-to-female ratios from 3-to-1 to 16-to-1, while population studies suggest ratios closer to 2-to-1 or even 1-to-1. By adulthood, the gender ratio balances out, not because ADHD changes, but because untreated symptoms finally become impossible to ignore. The 2018 NICE guidelines explicitly acknowledge that ADHD is underrecognized in girls, who are less likely to be referred and more likely to receive incorrect diagnoses. This diagnostic delay creates cascading consequences, increased risks for anxiety, depression, substance misuse, and eating disorders. Many women spend years being told they have anxiety or need to get organized. When they finally receive an ADHD diagnosis, often in their 20s, 30s, or beyond, the most common reaction is profound relief mixed with grief. I'm not thick or an idiot or mad, but I am sort of mourning the last 10 years. What does ADHD actually feel like for women? Imagine your mind as a browser with 100 tabs open simultaneously, each playing a different video at full volume. "I have never known what it feels like to have a quiet mind," one woman explains. This isn't anxiety's worried rumination. It's uncontrollable mental activity, an internal jitter that makes sleep elusive and relaxation impossible. The attention challenges present paradoxically. Women with ADHD don't have a deficit of attention. They have inconsistent attention. They can hyperfocus on fascinating topics for hours, losing track of time entirely, yet cannot force themselves to engage with mundane tasks. They might excel professionally while their personal administration collapses completely. Perhaps most misunderstood is the emotional dimension. Many women experience rejection-sensitive dysphoria, an exquisite sensitivity to perceived criticism that triggers either explosive anger or crushing despair. These aren't gradual mood changes. They're event-triggered, quick in onset, and relatively short-lasting. A woman might spiral into despair over a perceived slight, then bounce back within hours. This emotional volatility often leads to misdiagnoses of bipolar disorder or borderline personality disorder. The cumulative effect is exhausting. Women describe constantly running to stay in place, expending extraordinary energy to accomplish what others achieve effortlessly. They live with chronic shame, believing they're fundamentally flawed rather than neurologically different. ADHD doesn't just affect attention, it impacts every dimension of life. Women with ADHD experience triple the rates of insomnia and chronic pain compared to neurotypical women. Over 70% suffer from circadian rhythm disturbances, particularly delayed sleep phase syndrome, feeling most productive at midnight, yet lying awake despite exhaustion, minds racing through tomorrow's tasks. The physical toll extends further. Higher rates of obesity, asthma, allergic conditions, and fibromyalgia. 44% of fibromyalgia patients meet ADHD screening criteria. Hormonal fluctuations worsen symptoms premenstrually and during perimenopause, when stimulant medications become less effective. The relationship consequences are devastating. Twice the risk of divorce, 5 times higher rates of sexually transmitted infections, 10 times higher rates of unplanned teenage pregnancies, and 6-fold increased risk of intimate partner violence. Compensatory strategies, rigid systems for object placement, endless lists, delegating tasks, hypervigilance about immediate completion extract enormous costs. They provide short-term functionality, but lead to chronic fatigue, burnout, and profound self-doubt. Women spend decades believing they're lazy or stupid, that everyone else received some secret manual for adulting. The shame runs deep, making them less likely to seek help. ADHD is highly treatable, with most patients experiencing rapid symptom reduction. Women describe transformative effects. The chatter in my head is gone. My thoughts line up one by one. Medication provides the neurological foundation for other interventions. Stimulants work within 30 to 60 minutes. Non-stimulants take weeks but offer 24-hour coverage. About 70% respond to either methylphenidate or lisdexamfetamine, with success rates reaching 85 to 90% when both are tried. Dosing depends on individual response, not gender or weight. Cognitive behavioral therapy adapted for ADHD addresses negative thought patterns and builds organizational systems. Medication enhances concentration during therapy and helps implement new skills, a synergy producing better outcomes than either alone. Coaching proves valuable for executive functioning challenges. As one woman shared, "Coaching sessions were my sanity, the space to develop my own solutions. Medication helped me focus, but learning strategies showed me I could find my own path." Despite growing awareness, many women wait 10 to 15 years for diagnosis, seeing multiple providers who miss obvious signs. For every girl diagnosed in childhood, 5 to 7 may be missed, systems designed to catch hyperactive boys while ignoring quietly struggling girls. Systematic change is essential across all sectors. Schools need identification protocols recognizing female presentations. Healthcare providers need gender-specific training. Employers need to understand accommodations. Parents need to know their bright, disorganized daughter might have a treatable neurological condition, not a character flaw. The Equality Act 2010 requires schools to avoid substantial disadvantages for disabled children, including those with ADHD, providing extra exam time, separate testing rooms, or study skills training. Parents can advocate by understanding legal frameworks and documenting concerns. With timely diagnosis and support, girls transform from struggling to thriving, shame to self-understanding. They harness unique strengths, creativity, passion, hyperfocus, and emotional depth. Your racing thoughts aren't character flaws. Your disorganization isn't laziness. Your emotional intensity isn't dramatics. It's ADHD, and knowing enables solutions. Understanding ADHD in females means reclaiming lives and the fundamental right to be seen.